This episode of the Potato Field with Spudman is brought to you by the 1-4 Group Incorporated, a leading supplier of innovative dormancy and sprout inhibiting products for the potato storage industry. They are dedicated to the continued development of new and improved post-harvest chemical applications through collaborative efforts with leading university researchers and private industry. Find out more at 1-4group.com. Welcome to the Potato Field with Spudman, a new podcast for potato growers and about potato growers. Joining me today from Idaho is RJ Andrews, a longtime member of the family at Idahoan Foods. RJ, welcome.
Thank you, Zeke. It's good to be here.
I appreciate it too. How are you guys all wrapped up with harvest pretty much?
We actually are. It's interesting you ask. We finished late last night, so all of our potatoes are all put away, and compared to a year ago, it's a nice feeling.
So your title at Idahoan, I believe, is Senior Field Manager?
Yeah, I'm the Senior Manager of Raw Product Procurement.
Okay. So how much time do you actually spend out in the field versus, say, in the office?
It's about a 60-40 office field. It just depends on the time of the year. This time of the year, it's 100%.
Okay. So, could you just take us through exactly, you know, what your job entails?
Sure. So, I wear quite a few hats. I'm actually in charge of contracts. We contract with several of the fresh potato warehouses. Our big supplier is Idagrow, who is the group of growers that have the Idagrow co-op. They're a huge part of our supply. And then we have outside contracts as well. So I take care of the contracts. I'm in touch with fresh sheds every day. I'm in charge of logistics for trucks to go into our plants. We go out in the summer and look at our fields to see how they're progressing. And, you know, there's quite a few things that I do.
Now, I wasn't sure on this because, you know, Idahoan is such a year-round operation. From a farming standpoint, you're basically following the same production cycle that, you know, a commercial farm would do as far as getting in and out of the field, when you plant, when you harvest, all of that. Okay. So, and you've been at Idahoan, you've been in your current position for, I believe this is your 30th anniversary with the company overall. How has your position changed from when you started to what you do now?
Well, it's interesting. So I spent the first 17 years of my career starting in 1990 with Idaho Supreme. And when we start talking about some other things, I'll go into how that happened. But I started out as a fresh potato buyer at Idaho Supreme, and that morphed into DEHI sales. Then when Mr. Offa came and bought the company, I believe in 2007, Idahoan hired me. So technically I've been with Idahoan for 13 years, but previous I was with Idaho Supreme.
Okay. And was that your first job out of college?
Yes. Yeah, so it's interesting you bring that up. I'm a third generation potato grower, and I farmed with my father until 1982. And then I farmed with my father-in-law until 1985. Then I decided, 1985 was a tough year. It was the frost year, and it was, you know, I thought, well, I probably should go to school, get an education. And so I went to Ricks College then, graduated from there, went to Idaho State, was studying business and economics. And I kind of just really didn't know what I wanted to do because my heart was always in ag. And my dad at the time, he was a manager at Idaho Supreme, and he called me one day and he says, we have a position open for a fresh potato buyer. Would you be interested? And I'm like, maybe. And so I went and started talking to them, and long story short, they hired me. And So I bought fresh potatoes. I think we shut our fresh pack operation down around 95. And then my father retired, and then I took his place as DEHI procurement. And then the last year of my career, I actually went at Idaho Supreme. I went into DEHI sales, and that was previous to the Idahoan job. But it just seemed like the raw product always fit me the best because of my roots in ag. And so I've often told my kids, I'm like, this is probably like being in the mafia. Once you get in, you don't get out.
And what was life like growing up on the farm?
So I grew up in Osgood, Idaho, just out west of Idaho Falls. And my family, we raised potatoes, grain, and sugar beets. And in 1979, UNI Sugar was the factory here. It was owned by the LDS Church. They decided to shut down those operations and move, and they bought the large farm in Washington, Agra Northwest. So they shut the sugar factory down here, and that caused some real, people were pretty much geared up to raise sugar beets, and it was a good rotation crop. So that was kind of a pinch because basically north of Blackfoot, you can raise, grain and potatoes. So that was a little bit of a interesting thing that happened there. But farming is just it's a great life. I started out driving tractors without cabs, grain combines without cabs. And from then to now, the innovation that I've seen over my lifetime is amazing.
What do you think has been one of the biggest innovation advancements that you've seen in your decades in the business?
Other than the obvious, the equipment is so advanced now, but I think probably precision ag. Back in my day, you marked out your potato rows and you pretty much had to learn how to drive a straight line. And so, I think we lost a lot of production just on just the lack of precision and row spacing and things like that. So I think precision ag has been huge. I think it's raised our production. Off the top of my head, I think that'd be my number one.
Yeah, we've seen, yields just continue to rise pretty much. They fluctuate a little bit year by year, but what we're doing now versus what we were doing, decades ago is night and day.
When I was growing up, if you got a 250 sack an acre crop, you were doing very well. And I remember, 300 sacks was good. And, I think the growers are so good at what they do. And that coupled with precision ag, better seed, better farming practices, I think all those things have helped, increase yields and production.
As far as 2020, it's been a year like no other. But as far as in the field, how were things out in eastern Idaho? I've heard pretty good things about the conditions this year.
Yeah, we had a great growing season, and like you say, it's been a kind of a strange 6 or 7 months. But by and large, it seems to me like here in southeast Idaho, we really haven't. We're not like the big cities, and it seems like we've only just seen a ripple effect of what's going on.
Another thing that you devote a lot of your time to outside of your profession is the National Potato Council. You're currently on the executive committee. You have been since I've been in the industry a couple of years. You're very well known. Where did your desire to get involved in organizations and that level come from? How long has that been going on?
So, it's interesting you ask that. a man by the name of Wayne Allen was he was in charge of the DEHI cells at Idaho Supreme, and he's a mentor to me. And one day we were at work, and he said, "Hey, there's a Idaho grower shipper meeting tonight." It was the fall meeting, the Idaho grower shipper fall meeting. He said, "Would you like to go?" And I thought, "Yeah, why not?" So, I mean, I'll never forget the day that it happened, because I never really had any sort of desire to serve or do anything. And something clicked that night when I went to that meeting. I thought, I do want to start getting involved. And so later that year, I was in an IACI meeting. And for those that don't know, IACI is the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry. And I was in an IACI raw product meeting, and the guy says, "There's a thing called the Leadership Institute. And it's, you know, it's training, you know, for young leaders and stuff." And so I'm like, that might be interesting. So I got a good friend of mine, Todd Cornelson, and I said, "Would you be interested in going on this?" And so Todd and I signed up, and we started our trip in North Dakota and ended up in DC. And it was such a wonderful experience for me. When we got home, there was a position on the Idaho Potato Commission that came available. So I submitted my name for that. And then Governor Risch selected me to be on the Potato Commission. I served for 6 years on it. And, I was the chairman, I think, 2 years before my term ended, my last term ended. But the Potato Commission was a great experience for me. And when I got on the Potato Commission, they actually made me a board member of the National Potato Council. So I've been a board member on the NPC for probably since 2008. And it was always just it's such a great experience to go to Washington, D.C. and just see how things work. I mean, if you're just growing potatoes and you really don't know how regulatory stuff works or legislative stuff works, I mean, there's so much work that goes into, you know, all that. I mean, we could go on and on about all the work that gets done in Washington, D.C. on behalf of the potato industry. But it always just fascinated me to see how many moving parts are underneath the surface that you really don't think about it if you're not involved in you know, the national scene.
Well, we're going to take just a quick break here for a message from our sponsor. Do you struggle with black spot or pressure bruise in your potato crop? The team at 1-4 Group has a solution for you. Their biocontrol 1-4 site has proven time and again to be the best sustainable option for delivering high quality potatoes. Incorporate 1-4 site into your existing storage program for unprecedented success. Learn more at 1-4group.com. And now back to the podcast. From, let's say, from like an industry camaraderie standpoint, just being involved in going to war, so to speak, with your fellow growers on behalf of the industry, do you think that that's part of the reward of being involved at that level?
Oh, there's no question about it. I'm friends with people from Washington State to Maine, and you know, it seems like we're all pretty territorial about, well, Idaho's the best, Washington's the best, whatever. But one thing it has taught me, being involved in this industry, is that we're all in this industry for the greater good of the potato industry, whether it be we're from Idaho, North Dakota, doesn't matter where we're from. I mean, a rising tide floats all boats. And so, I mean, it's just, and I've made so many good friends and so many good acquaintances over the years that I mean, those kinds of things have been priceless, and it is the reward.
And kind of on that note, if you know, you encountered maybe a younger grower or just a grower who had never really gotten involved that way, And they said, look, man, I just really don't have time to do that. I've got to be at the farm. You know, what would you say as far as the encouragement maybe to step outside their comfort zone?
You know, it's interesting you say that, because from the outside looking in, it looks like it there's a lot of time committed, and there is. But usually our meetings are in the winter. I mean, we do have a summer meeting during the growing season, but I mean, our meetings are usually in the winter, and I think everybody can probably get away in the winter. So I would encourage, and I have encouraged anybody that asks me, to get involved and make your voice heard and really see what's going on and how our national organizations, Potatoes USA, National Potato Council, how those organizations do help our individual farms throughout the United States.
A big thing every year is the DC fly-in, which is part of the Leadership Institute that you spoke of already. Any favorite stories from past DC fly-ins of getting a chance to, you know, meet the Secretary of Ag, or getting a chance to know your representative or senators, or just any eye-opening experiences?
You know, I actually have met some really, really interesting people. I met, you know, the Speaker of the House, John Boehner. I mean, I've met the Secretary of Ag, Sonny Perdue. I mean, I could go down the list, but it really is a highlight to go and be able to talk to your representatives. And our representatives from the state of Idaho are fantastic. They love potatoes. They're pro ag. I mean, they're really, it's really easy to talk to our guys. And I'm friends with Crapo and Simpson and Rish and our new guy, Ross Fulcher. I'm friends with all those guys. And yeah, so it's, and as far as the stories go, I could probably, you and I could go off page and I could tell you a whole bunch of interesting stories on Washington, D.C.
I'm sure you could, but we'll stay on page for now, maybe for another time.
Okay.
But back to the field aspect, for what you guys do at Idaho, and are you typically growing the same kind of varieties because it is all going to a lot of the same place? Are you guys generally doing like russets?
Yeah, so we, our fresh warehouses early on run russet Norcotas, and we get the off grade from those, and then that transitions into russet Burbanks. So most of our off grade comes from Norcotas and Burbanks. The crop that we raise and put in storage are usually russet Rangers.
Okay. So do you have any favorites as far as of growing that you like to grow?
You know, we really do like the Rangers. They have really good solids. I mean, obviously the Burbank is the king. But, and so we do like the russet Burbanks and the russet Rangers. They yield well. They perform well on the plants. So.
And from a soil aspect in that region, how would you, you know, for people from other parts of the country that maybe haven't had a chance to visit Idaho yet, how would you describe the soil there in southeastern Idaho?
It's the best dirt on the earth.
Best way to put it, I guess.
Honestly.
Yep. So how has the farming aspects changed during your career as far as the challenges that you guys face, whether it's with certain weeds or pests or just irrigation needs? What have been some of the biggest changes you've noticed?
Well, that's a really good question. I'd probably have to think about that. Mm-hmm. It's like we talked about earlier, the innovation of everything as far as chemicals, application, the irrigation's got better. Yeah, I mean, over 30 years, there have been a lot of things that have changed and obviously made things better.
What do you think, from that aspect, what do you think that growers, or what do you think the needs of the future are coming as far as what growers are going to need to continue to be successful. What are some of the biggest issues you guys are facing right now?
Well, I mean, CIPC is a thing we're very concerned about. I'm actually on the I'm the chairman of the American Potato Trade Alliance, and you've met Matt Lance. Mm-hmm. So those guys, they work on all the regulatory, the MRLs, you know, all those different kinds of things. And CIPC is, we're concerned about it because obviously the EU banned it. And that's a very important part of what we do is to keep our potatoes year round is CIPC. So.
Yeah, that's a big one. I'm definitely keeping an eye on that myself. It's going to be interesting to see how things happen over in Europe because they, you know, they're talking about, you know, giving them a window of their storage facilities. Like they can't store potatoes in a facility where they've used CIPC. I mean, how do you combat that if you have to build, you know, whole new facilities?
I'm not sure. That's why we're keeping a very close eye on it. And it is concerning to us.
Yep. So, any other favorite stories from your career, memories, whether it's on the farm, in Washington, you know, just hanging out with fellow growers?
You know, I would say that probably the favorite times I remember is being able to farm and work with my father, who just passed away a month ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. I did see that on social media. I'm sorry to hear that. Your boys are involved in farming, correct?
Yeah. So my oldest son, Morgan, he actually went on the Leadership Institute as well a few years back, and he's with High Country Potato in Rexburg. And my younger son, Dallas, is a managing partner at Teton West Construction. So they build potato cellars.
Okay.
So.
And you're very involved in social media too. You're like one of our biggest fans on the Spudman LinkedIn and Facebook page. So we appreciate
it. Well, you guys
that.
Always put really good stuff out, Zeke. And I Spudman's been a good friend for a long time. In fact, a friend of mine, Todd Jarrett, and I were able to grace the cover of the magazine. I can't remember what year that was. 5 or 6 years ago. Uh-huh. Bill Schaefer was gracious enough to get us on there. And then we did a piece about Idaho and then Todd's operation, Ida Gold Farms. So that was kind of neat, but yeah, Spudman's been very good to me over the years. So.
And Bill's a tremendous guy. He still does work for Spudman and he's a great friend and somebody I really enjoy seeing whenever I get a chance. So.
That's me. He actually does the photography work for the NPC when we go, you know, we travel around and it's always enjoyable to see Bill. And I'd like to just tell you, thanks for your, those are pretty big shoes to fill when you came aboard. So you've done a great job, Zeke.
Well, thank you very much. And talking about big shoes to fill, Cam's done a great job filling in for John Keeling. Any favorite stories involving Mr. Keeling? He was quite a colorful figure.
There are a myriad of stories. We're friends and we're fellow Dallas Cowboy fans. And so every year we go to a football game. We go find the Dallas game to go to, him and Blair Richardson, myself and Brett Jensen, who's a farmer here. He's actually one of my growers. But John cast a pretty long shadow over the industry. And I think it was my first year on the executive committee that we were charged with the task of trying to replace John. And I'll tell you, that was a pretty daunting thing to do because John was so well known, so well connected, so well liked. I don't know anybody that didn't like John Keeling. So that was a daunting task to replace that man. But I'll tell you what, we landed Cam and he has just absolutely done fantastic work. You know, It's like I told my fellow committee members. I said, guys, we're never going to replace John Keeling. We won't replace the man, but we can replace the position. And that's what we did with Cam. And then, I mean, Mike Winkle's been fantastic as the COO, and it was a co-hire. And they've just really done tremendous work. And this last 6-7 months has been very challenging for them. I mean, there are no face-to-face meetings. They've done all this great work with pandemic relief for the growers. They've done all this work. You know, back there, they're just in the trenches every day for us. So I can't say enough good about what Cam's done as a CEO.
No, I absolutely. I'm, you know, extremely impressed with what the, you know, a small team like that can get done. You know, that's they really are big potato, but it's just a small group, and what you guys do as committee members is impressive to watch.
You know, it's incredible. I mean, you mentioned the small shop. You basically have Cam, Mike, and Holly, who is fantastic, and Hillary too. And then we have our communications guy, Mark, and he's fantastic at what he does. But I mean, basically, it's a small shop, and they get a lot of stuff done for how small it is.
They sure do. And before I let you go, is there anything else that you wanted to share about what you do or who you Idahoan? I've obviously been around a long time, and actually, when I was researching for this interview, I didn't realize this, but potato dehydration actually stems from World War II, that they needed food for soldiers. And that's what led to the creation of Idaho in 1951. So
it's interesting you bring that up. Bill Chapman, who owned Idaho Supreme, was him and my dad were great friends. And Bill actually worked for Idahoan back in those days. But I will say, I would encourage everybody to go try the products, because it's funny. I eat them 2-3 times a week in my house. Back in the World War II days, it was pretty much like boiling up some cardboard and trying to, you know, get it choked down. But I don't even like to use dehydration because it's got such a bad connotation to it. But the products that we make now are so far superior to, you know, where they were 20 years ago. I actually have a slogan that I like to tell growers if they want to bring a suspect load in with some rot or whatever in it. And I always ask them, I say, would your wife cook that in your kitchen? And if they answer no, then I'll say, why would we cook it in ours?
No, that's a great way to put it.
We use quality potatoes. Our off grades quality, our field runs quality. Since I've been here, since Mr. Offa came to town and bought Idaho, and we've done some great plant innovations. We have a whole research and development team that just continually try new products, and our marketing is unparalleled. I mean, it's just a fantastic company.
I really love that regional thing that you guys did with the cheese. Like you did the Wisconsin cheddar and the Vermont white cheddar. And then it was like the Monterey Jack. I thought it was really clever because Idahoan is, you know, obviously there's a lot of pride in the name of the regional pride, but you're able to tie that up with other regional areas, because that's such a big thing in marketing today, is people want things that are close to home. So
sure.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. Our marketing team is our R&D team, our marketing team. We just have a great team around us.
Yeah. And another thing I love to do, RJ Harvey at Potatoes USA turned me onto this, but using the dehy product as bread is a replacement for breadcrumbs.
Yes. And
I use the garlic one. It's really delicious, like as a breading for chicken or pork chops or whatever you want to make. But Yeah, you guys are doing good work out there. So,
well, thanks, Zeke.
RJ, I think that wraps up what I have for you. I really appreciate you doing this in your time. I know that you're busy, and especially with just finishing harvest last night. Really grateful for your time, and look forward to catching up to you when we can all travel again.
Yeah, when we can do that again. I hope that's sooner than later, but I appreciate the opportunity, Zeke, to come on and visit with you. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Take care, RJ. Thanks for listening, everybody. And thanks again to 1-4 Group, our sponsor. Be sure to go check them out at 1-4group.com. We'll see you next time.